here. Bird Show.
So Abby here is wondering how big an a-hole she is. Not is she an a-hole? It's how big an a-hole she might be being.
I know that this is a-hole behavior. In fact, I'm kind of reflecting on all the stories I'm telling this week. I'm like, wow, we are just talking about all of my worst flaws this week. They're all coming out to play in the last like 7 days or so. I don't know what it is about this year. Well, I do know what it is about this year. There's a lot of family stuff going on in Florida, which is where I'm from. And so I'm constantly flying down to see my family for my brother's engagement. And then there's a gender reveal. And then there's a bridal shower. And then there's a baby shower. And there's so many things I have to go down to see my family for in Tampa, which I jokingly call the worst city on earth. So when I go to the worst city on earth, I like to find fun things to do that make it feel a little bit less like it is the worst place on earth. I have beef with Tampa. I feel like every time I go down there, I try to have a good time. I want to love it. My family's there. It's an objectively beautiful city. But every time I go there, I'm like, what is there to do? Nobody's out. It feels like a wasteland. Where are the people?
I almost feel like sending you to Detroit. Because I feel like you haven't done enough traveling in this country if you think Tampa is the worst.
Well, I think sometimes it comes down to vibes. You know what I mean? Like, there are certain places that just don't, like, I don't know if it's astrologically or just what you're looking for in a city. There are just certain cities that you're not going to mesh with. There are certain cities that you're just not going to gel with. And for me, Tampa is one of those cities. And
it also depends on like your history with said city. Yeah. So like Cincinnati for some people is a wonderful city. For me, it's Cincinnati. And you know, life was a little difficult when I was there.
Okay.
So you take those memories and you attach it to a city. Like you take it with an artist or a song, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's an artist, if an ex was really into it, and now whenever I hear Dave Matthews Band, it's just like, and I know they're objectively a good band, but I have a hard time listening to them because of the memories attached to them.
It's hate by proxy.
Yes.
And I feel you on the city thing. There are the cities that I can't deal with are the ones that have major BS problems. The Miamis of the world, mm-hmm. I absolutely hate. Washington, D.C., while beautiful and historical, so much political BS. L.A., I absolutely hate also, although people will say it's a beautiful city. So I feel you on that.
Exactly. Yeah. I might love Detroit. Have I been to Detroit? No. But I could have a good time in Detroit. I just haven't tried it out yet.
No, I've been here.
Okay, so maybe...
she'd rather go to Cincinnati than Detroit.
I actually would. So anyway, we're going down to Tampa for my cousin's baby shower. She's getting ready to give birth in a couple of months. And so I thought, okay, how can I make this trip to Tampa fun? Let me feel like the cruise director of my family. Let me get some like tours going. Let me get some dinner reservations going. So there are two restaurants that I've been wanting to try out as a foodie that I've heard are so good and like the social hotspots of the city. I thought, okay, this is going to be the weekend I finally have a good time in Tampa because we are going to go to this restaurant and apparently this is where the people go. And then we're going to go to this restaurant and it's, you know, Michelin recommended and we're going to have a good time as a family. And these are going to be like the highlights other than the shower of the trip. So I go to the family group chat a couple of weeks ago. So we're coming on like 2 months out of the shower. So I text them and I say, hey guys, can't wait to see you guys in mid-July, blah, 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 blah. The shower is going to be so great, blah, blah, blah. I wanted to let you know I'm making dinner reservations for Friday and Saturday. Could you please text me back and say if you'd be interested in going to blah, 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 or blah, 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 or both? Group chat, radio silent. I get a text from my brother a couple hours later. He goes, hey, me and my fiance would love to attend. And I go, great. Guess it's just going to be the four of us, maybe mom and dad. So I'm kind of looking at the group chat. And I go, hey, just making sure everyone saw this. No response. So I go into Open Table, I go into Resy, and I make the reservations. I said, okay, I'll make it for about six people because only my brother and his fiance responded. I know my mom's going to want to come. And I know at some point, maybe one or two people last minute are going to be like, we want to come to the reservation.
Did you break off and text her like one-on-one to see if you'd get a response from that text rather than this group text?
Well, there's like 15 people in the group chat. Like, I mean, I would have to individually be like, hey, did you see the group chat that I already poked and prodded about? Like, this is a big family group chat. And so I said, hey guys, like, I'm going to make the reservations now. So just like, let me know if you want to come. So I make the reservations for about six or eight, depending on the night, because I'm like, okay, not everybody's going to want to come, but I know at some point somebody's going to text me last minute and this will just make it easier. So my mom texts me a couple of days days ago, she says, hey, why don't you just double check to see if anybody wants to come out to dinner with us on Friday or Saturday?
See, this is where I would have put my foot down.
Okay, see, I just like rolled my eyes. I got so annoyed. I'm like, they had their chance.
I know.
A couple weeks ago, like they knew. What else are we going to do? You know, family's coming into town. Like, just say you want to come out to dinner. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be amenable and I'll send out the group chat and be like, hey, I'll see if I can change the reservations, but do you guys want to come out?
Oh, you better than me.
Suddenly, everyone's like, oh my God, I can't wait to try that place. Everyone's been posting about it on Instagram. And I go, oh my God, are you kidding me? So then I have to email all the places and I go, hey, can I bump it up to 10 people or whatever it's going to be? Mm. And all the emails I get back are like, no, it's too little too late. And so now I'm like, oh my God, do I have to go back to my family and be like, you guys can't come to the reservations? Because that's what I want to do. I want to look at them in the eye and be like, you guys had the opportunity a couple weeks ago. You guys knew I wanted to try these places and nobody responded. So is it an a-hole move to not change the dinner place? Like, because at this point we're going to have to go to Applebee's. Like there's going to be 15 of us. We're not going to be able to get into any big restaurant in Tampa.
Okay, I'm going to be the only one here to take the high road on this because I can already see everybody's like, bail on them, right? And I think that would be my first instinct also. Uh-huh. It's like, I tried to do everything. But you also have to take into account, I think, that when's the next time where that you're actually going to have the opportunity to have everybody together in the same place, focusing on each other. So maybe you should just get over the rudeness that clearly your family has shown just for the experience to do something on a higher level.
See, I'm done begging people and like following up on people. Like if they wanted to, they would.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those, and I think this is just, this is age and exhaustion showing. So I would have sent the text and be like, hey, I've made the reservations, but if you are interested, I can try to call the restaurant and see if we can change them to accommodate more people, but no promises. And then if people hit me back, I'd be like, all right, then I would do what you did. And then been like, sorry, I reached out to the restaurants, but none of the reservations can be upped. Maybe the next time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you tried. Plus, there's a lesson. Respond to the group text when you send the original text.
Wouldn't feel bad about it at all.
No.
I mean, especially since you actually tried.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't. I wouldn't change it. If anything, if it's possible, I would try to do both. Maybe go do what I really want to do. And then after that, meet everybody at a lesser place. But if I can't do that, I wouldn't try to change it because everybody didn't respond.
This is so heartwarming. I really thought you guys were all going to look me in the eye and be like, what an a-hole.
No, she would rather
try out XYZ Italian restaurant than hang out with her family.
No, hey. There'll be plenty of other opportunities this morning to call you an a-hole. But this is not one of them.
It's the Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I'm so excited for Beyonce on Friday that I can't even fathom how I would feel if something happened last minute and she had to cancel the show. And that's how Kelly Clarkson fans were feeling a couple of days ago when she was set to kick off her Vegas residency and canceled 90 minutes before she was set to go on the stage.
Is this not reminiscent of Adele and what happened with her Vegas residency?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And to be fair, look how successful her residency was. Like, even though she had to take some time off to, like, heal. So basically, Kelly Clarkson is doing all these rehearsals and she's getting ready for this, you know, months-long performance that she's going to be doing night after night after night. And her voice, I guess, was on the verge of a total shutdown. Her doctors were like, you might need surgery if you don't stop singing. So she had to cancel 90 minutes before. Apparently, her staff found out on Instagram. Like, they didn't even find out behind the scenes. Like, she posted on social media or her team posted on social media, and that's how they got the news. Mm-hmm. And she apologized. Of course, she promised refunds. But if you fly out to Vegas because you want to see your girlfriend, you know, Kelly Clarkson, you're going to lose all that money, the airfare, the hotel, all of it.
This sounds so unlike Kelly Clarkson, who is so bonded to her fans.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had her in here before, and I've called her the most unaffected celebrity I've ever met in my life. She is as down to earth as it gets. But so I'm wondering if she might have made the same mistake that Adele did. Is like, I got to gut through it. I got to gut through it. I know I can do it. I know I can do it. And then it becomes impossible. And you make the call 90 minutes before your show, which is way too late. You have people flying in from all over the country and stuff like that to come see you in your residency. Mm-hmm. Way too late. But I'm wondering if she meant well, but at the end of the day, just couldn't pull it off.
Well, with Adele, it was production. So she didn't like, the show wasn't going to be up to her standards. And that's why she pulled the plug on starting it. With Kelly, you had to have known more than 90 minutes prior that your voice wasn't going to be capable of sustaining a show. What I think they should start doing to, and I get it, like stuff happens and you're not going to be able to perform. You want to preserve the voice, but there should be like some consequences. So yeah, you refund the ticket, but if you come with receipts, you have to refund the flight. You have to refund the hotel room. You have to refund the dog sitter. You have to refund the nanny. Mm-hmm. You have to you have to refund the $25 burger you ate at the airport and the $72 bottle of water you bought at the airport. Like when you start adding all that stuff up, it's a lot of money.
I feel like that's a lawsuit ready to happen. Like somebody's going to come up with that. But I also think that when you buy a ticket to a residency or Ticketmaster, the whole contract basically says, look, she don't even have to go on stage and we're not responsible for anything.
She can cancel at any time right up to the point that she's supposed to be on stage.
I don't know what the sweet spot would be for concerts. I'm not mad at Kristen's idea because I feel like it would force people to gut it through more. But I do know a lot of people made fun of Akon for sending his brother out when he couldn't make the concert. Maybe everybody should have a little twin that they can throw out there at a time like this.
They're in Vegas. They could find a Kelly Clarkson impersonator. Yeah. Sure. It's not that hard.
They need voice doubles is what they need.
Imagine if you were at Kelly Clarkson and you hadn't heard anything and then all of a sudden ventriloquist Jeff Dunham comes out on stage with a Kelly Clarkson doll being like, this is what you're getting tonight.
Send you bang on. Okay, apparently Kim Kardashian had a terrible time at Jeff Bezos' wedding, which if you haven't seen the photos, this is just like a ridiculous wedding. It was $51.1 million, which allegedly in relative terms only cost him about $400 in regular people speak. Like that's how rich he is. And of course, every A-lister from here to Timbuktu was at this wedding. Who knows if he even has a relationship with these people, but Kim K was at Jeff Bezos' wedding and rumor has it she had a terrible time all because of Tom Brady and Sydney Sweeney. So Sydney Sweeney, Tom Brady, both two very hot A-listers, recently single, apparently were flirting up while they were at Jeff Bezos' wedding. And Kim K and Tom Brady used to kind of have a thing. And she apparently felt very slighted by his attention towards Sydney Sweeney and not her. She felt more invisible than, you know, Jeff Bezos' taxes.
Do you believe any of this? I mean, what? He's 47 or 49 and she's 27 or something like that. Do you feel like the paparazzi or somebody, they could be having a conversation at the reception and somebody's going to report it to Des Moines or whatever. And then it becomes this rumor.
People love to stir stuff up. Yeah. But I mean, I think Sydney Sweeney's fiance was older than she was. I don't know by how much. I think it might have been 10 years. That could be totally inaccurate. So she might be into the older guys. And I don't think it's that far off if you saw a very flirty photo of them. I mean, it's literally Tom Brady. He's the GOAT.
Yeah, I was like, do I need to suspend reality to believe that Tom Brady was hitting on Sydney Sweeney? No, not at all.
No. Touché. Like, yeah, not even a little
bit. That's a good point. Have you seen both of them? No, I don't. That is actually one of the more plausible storylines I've heard from Hollywood in a very long time.
I wonder what took so long.
I wonder what it must be like to enter a room as a guy and go, 90% of the women here would sleep with me.
Huh. I think with Tom Brady, it's more like 95% of them.
Never thought about it, but that got to be pretty glorious.
Yeah, right? It's got to be pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
This is The Burt Show.
Gentlemen, men, you got to know when no truly, truly means no. Back off. Go away. Katie is frustrated about this very thing right now.
Yes, and I'm just trying to understand how some men's minds work and why they do the things that they do.
Good luck with that.
So typically when I go out with my group of friends, what used to happen is if we were out, like say maybe a group of 3 to 4 of us or something like that, my friends always volunteered me to be the woman to flirt with some guys to get drinks, right? I was the designated, hey, Katie, get us some drinks tonight.
Yeah, Buzz Katie has game.
I didn't say that.
Oh, I saw it.
Are you a big flirt?
That's game.
That's game, right? Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, your flirt game is off the charts.
Oh, my God, yes.
That's pretty impressive considering you don't even play for that team.
Yeah.
I know.
Maybe that's why it's so easy.
That's what makes it so fun.
Don't care.
Exactly. It's like when you don't try, it's like, cool. And then that's what I always tell my friends. I'm like, just don't try. You'll be fine. It always used to work out for me. So that's what I used to do when I would just, it would work out. We used to be on streaks with these drinks. But I've retired from that, right? Because now I'm in a relationship. Me going out and flirting for drinks, it just doesn't equate. I just don't do that anymore. So in this situation, group of friends, we go out to a bar and stuff like that, and we're just sitting down enjoying one another's company. And three guys come to our table, and they're just starting conversation and flirting. And I see my friends are choosing which one they're going to go after too. And
they're calling dibs at this point.
Yes. They're calling dibs, and I see it. And I'm like, okay, y'all, go ahead. And one guy comes and he tries to approach me. And as he comes to approach me, I'm like, I'm in a relationship. And he's like, oh, okay. Well, that he must be a lucky guy or something like that. And I'm like, it's a girl. He's like, oh. Well,
so you're saying there's a chance. Right.
It immediately switched to that. Like, oh, well, you know, okay, come on now. Does she have to know type of thing? And I'm like, it's still a relationship. So he ended up backing off when I was after that. And he goes and tries to speak to another one of my friends. I thought that was that.
Wait, right after you? He just went to the next one?
Yeah.
My God. Okay.
And he was bold about it. He didn't care.
You have friends like this, right? I certainly know I do that. They just play the numbers game?
Normally not in the same group. They'll at least go to a different group.
That's true. But, you
know. They're literally trying to poach from the same barrel. Like, move to a different barrel, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he stayed for a while, too, just lingering. I was like, okay, if that works, cool. But weeks later, my friends and I, we go back to this place because the place is a nice vibe. Like when I find a nice vibe, I stick to my certain places. And lo and behold, he's back. And I'm like, oh, he's a regular too. Dang. So I see him, and this time we're not at a table. I'm sitting like at the bar, and he comes back up and he's like, hey, you still in that relationship with your girl? And I'm like, yep. Still in that relationship, buddy.
Also still a lesbian.
Right. Still a lesbian. He's like, well, you know, if you ever want to come over back to this side, and he starts giving that type of conversation.
That must be so frustrating and so offensive.
It is. And it's gotten to
if you ever
point,
just choose, you know, like, you know, because I know one day you can like women and the other day you can like men. It's so offensive.
It is. And that's why I just don't understand, because this is a common theme. It's just not him. I've seen this often. I've seen it happen to other friends of mine, where for some reason, if a guy hears that you're in a relationship with a woman, I don't know what it is, but some guys just don't equate that to being a real relationship.
they see it as a challenge.
Yes, that's what it is. It automatically becomes a challenge. And I'm like, why? It's still a relationship. And there are guys who I feel like are disrespectful towards women who may be in a hetero relationship. We're like, well, your boyfriend's not here. But it seems like they go stronger or harder when they find out it's just another woman. And that is the most irritating thing.
Oh,
and I'm like, men, can you please stop doing this? Those who do that, please stop. It is annoying. My relationship is just as real as a hetero relationship.
Preach.
I was telling Mo on a separate but connected situation. I was telling Mo I was in New York a couple of weeks ago, right? My mom's old folk home is on the Upper East Side. And I didn't know it at the time, but I guess there's a large gay population up there, right? And I went and I was sitting by myself, and I was having kind of one of those dinners after I hung out with her. I was by myself, just a defrag, like, wow, I just need a couple of minutes by myself, right? And I got hit on by like two or three different guys at the same place, and I was so excited. There's something about being hit on by another guy. I mean, I didn't reciprocate it or anything, but for whatever reason, getting hit on by a gay dude was like higher compliment than it would have been from a woman.
It's an honor. It's like you got it going on with both genders.
Right.
Yeah.
It was. Like,
it's definitely a compliment.
It was a compliment.
So I've always appreciated that.
This is The Burt Show.
It's just simple communication. But before a date, who's supposed to confirm? When are you supposed to confirm? Mo's got an example of one date that blew up because they just couldn't communicate.
I thought this was interesting after seeing it go viral on Brooke_Lynn1's X account, because I've been here. I remember a time back in the day when a date got canceled because we had a little communication issue, which I didn't think was that big of a deal, but turns out it was. And I hear a lot of people going through this as they date today, who is supposed to confirm the date? Should the date have to be confirmed? And I think this is a perfect example of how two sides can see it very differently. So I'm going to tell you guys this text conversation that happened, and you guys can tell me which side do you favor and why this date ended up being canceled. So the first person says, the very first text is, let's definitely try it. How does 7:30 sound? Right?
Mm-hmm.
The other person says, perfect. I'll meet you there. Smiley face. Okay? So that's the end of that day.
Okay.
That's how they wrapped up that day.
They're meeting somewhere the next day at 7:30.
All right. So just to establish again, this isn't the day of the date. This is the day before the date.
Right. So they're setting the date up to be tomorrow.
Okay.
The person says, how does 7:30 sound? The person responds, perfect. I will meet you there. Now you follow up to the next day. This is the next day. The first text that comes in is at 7:21 p.m., right? Because they set the date for 7:30. So the same person who said how does 7:30 sound the day before says, hello, exclamation point. I will probably be about 5 minutes late.
That's a courtesy text. That's nice.
All right. And this is at what time now?
This is at 7:21.
Okay. And they're supposed to meet at 7:30.
7:30.
No communication between the day before and now.
Exactly.
Got it.
So then the person responds to that and says, oh, no, you needed to confirm this morning. I thought it wasn't happening, so I am not there. We will have to reschedule. Crying face. And then the person responds, oh, wow, ha ha. But the oh, wow, ha ha was, why would you tell me that now? I'm already on my way there.
Right.
So that was the end of it. And it turns out they confirmed that the date ended up being canceled, and both parties maturely agreed to go separate ways because they felt like they were going to have miscommunication issues.
Yeah.
But that sparked a huge debate online of which person was wrong. Was the person wrong for not confirming that the date was still on?
The date was already confirmed.
Uh-huh.
That's how I feel.
Okay, so I don't. I guess I'm old school here. So if we got something lined up for 7:30 that night, I'm confirming sometime during the day going, hey, still cool at 7:30, right?
See, for me, if I say we on for 7:30 and you say perfect, I'll see you there.
Yeah.
That's the confirmation.
It was the day before.
Right.
It's literally less like or 24 hours prior. Like how many confirmations do you need, man?
Yeah, I guess just I don't know. I would just somehow in the morning or sometime in the afternoon just drop a quick text just going, we're still cool for 7:30, right?
Or looking forward to seeing you tonight.
But if it's not, but if you don't do it, that doesn't mean that the date is off either.
See, that's I guess where the confusion comes in, because a lot of women are in the comments saying, if I agree to go on a date with you the day before, 2 days, whatever day, and it's not the day of, and you don't text me at some point during that day in the morning and the afternoon and say, hey, just want to let you know we're still on, I'm not showing up to that date.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way.
All right, Abby, you're in the mean streets of the dating world. Do you expect a confirmation text the day of the date?
There needs to be a confirmation at some point within the vicinity of the date. It doesn't necessarily have to be the day of. My perfect scenario is the day before you say, hey, or even 2 days before, hey, are we good for blah, 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 at blah, blah, blah. And then about an hour or two before the date, he says something like, looking forward to it, see you in a couple hours. Just to kind of like touch base. But at the same time, like if he hadn't sent me that text, like I would still be showing up to the restaurant because you still confirmed it. Like you're not bailing on me.
So you don't assume that the date is canceled simply because you haven't heard from the other person on that particular day.
Especially if it's the day before. Like, that's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. She didn't want to go on that date. She was looking for a way out.
Maybe that was it.
That might have been the answer.
What was the basic consensus on it? Was it split right down the middle?
It was pretty much split right down. I think more women felt like the confirmation should happen, where it seems like more men felt like the confirmation already happened.
Okay.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
To Cassie here, who is the most consistent member of the Burt Show. She walked in this morning, and now I don't even go, hey, how was your day? Now I say, so what went wrong?
So I have a question for you guys, and I really want to know if an Airbnb should disclose this kind of stuff up front. So when we were on vacation last week, we booked a last minute Airbnb. And honestly, that should have been my sign that this Airbnb was still available the week of July 4th. And it was lakefront, right?
Okay.
Just outside of Burlington, Vermont on Lake Champlain. So we get there late at night and like the pictures inside are gorgeous. And I walk in, it's super clean, very nice. Furniture's a little like, not great, but it's fine. Like, sure. It's clean and that's what matters. So I'm like, this is beautiful. The sun is setting. So I open the door to walk out on the balcony so I can like take a minute and just look over Lake Champlain. And I'm like, this is gorgeous. Like, finally, I needed this respite and this vacation. And I stopped dead in my tracks. Because if you're even slightly arachnophobic like me, you've learned to train your eye whenever you walk through woods or doorways. You just kind of automatically like look for spider webs hanging, right? Because I don't want to get them caught in my hair. That's my biggest fear. Mm-hmm. I've got curly hair. Getting a spider out of it would be near impossible, and I hate them.
So you're more scared by the web and what it's going to do to your hair?
No, no. I'm scared by the spider that's attached to the web.
All right.
Cobwebs, I don't mind. Now, I grew up in Georgia and Louisiana, so I've learned to like live symbiotically or in harmony kind of with the spiders. Like, daddy long legs, you cool. You eat the bad spiders. The little wolfy spiders in the grass, that's fine. But anything bigger than that, get the hell out. You have all of outside. You do not need to be anywhere near my house. So I stopped dead. And there's this huge spider web right in front of the doorway with a big orb weaver. I've sent you like the picture in your email. It has the body of a black widow. Okay. That's, but it's not poisonous. It's not venomous, but it like has, that's the size of it. It's a big chonker. Okay. So I'm like, that's fine. And then my eyes shift slightly. And there's another one. And it shifts up. And there's a brown recluse looking spider. So that body style. And then I keep looking, and literally from where I'm standing right up along the windows, no less than 30 spiders.
Whoa.
In their, 30 of those suckers in their webs.
Got to go.
And then I look out to the next little part, 30 more. And I look out to the next part. It's infested with these big black widow looking spiders. And I start like shaking and freaking out. And I slam the door, and it's like out of a movie. I swear this spider was like a paid actor. I shut the door and it just drops down in front of me.
Really?
And I was like, no. And so I run to the front door and I whip it open to go tell my husband, Chad, like, you're going to have to deal with this because he's getting the kids out the car. And one had built a web over the doorway as I was inside, and I'm trapped. And I'm like, oh my God. And Chad's like, calm down, because he grew up on a like farm in upstate New York. He doesn't care. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, I can't handle this. They weren't inside. The whole time, I did only see five inside. Three were like in a corner window. I mean, I should have known. They like built an enclosed balcony before their balcony, because apparently, I guess it's a bad thing or such a problem. And to be fair, they were gone in the morning. So they take it, but then you know they're just lurking under the deck.
I wouldn't be able to sleep thinking one was going to end up in my bed or on me when I'm sleeping.
Dude,
there's no way I could have stayed.
It was terrible. And so then we also booked this place because it had a washer dryer, because, you know, I'm in an RV, ain't got one. And we're on this like 2 week, like, we've been gone for the house for a month, but we're like trying to get across country. And I'm like, we've got all this laundry to do, so let's book a washer dryer. You have to go outside through the cobwebs, which are still there during the day, downstairs into a dirt basement. And the whole time I'm just like screaming at every little touch and like trying to pull open the doors and get inside. And I'm just like, I get that you can't really put in your listing spider infested balcony, but at the same time, we hit them up about, we're like, hey, there are a lot of spiders. You might want to do something about this. No response. Then we were like, hey, where's the washer dryer? Immediate response. So they know it's an issue, and they straight up ignored it. And I'm debating, like, I don't want to leave a review that says that, because I don't want to nuke their income, right? I just feel like that's crappy over something they probably can't control.
That Airbnb was available on July 4th.
No,
so,
the week of.
Or the week of July 4th. So it's nuked itself.
Yeah, but yeah. And the thing is it like a no? I mean, I'm not dumb. Obviously, there are going to be insects and spiders outside, especially like anywhere in nature. But that many where you can't, I mean, as soon as the sun started to set, we were like, inside, time to go. Chad's like, I see one building, get the kids inside.
Did you, was there any mention of it in any previous reviews?
No, we didn't see it. So I'm wondering if it's just such a normal thing for that area that everybody knows. Like, if you go, let's say, Louisiana or the Everglades, you know there are going to be alligators in the water. Like, you can't complain about that. Obviously, they're going to be there.
They still should have dignified you with a response. Like, hey, this is really common for Vermont. Yes. If it freaks you out, we have blah, blah, blah to help you handle it under the sink. But the fact
like
that
vodka?
Vodka. All the alcohol. Yeah. If the fact that they just, like, let you deal with it and didn't give you a response, I think tells you everything you need to know.
That deserves a bad review more than the spiders.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
right.
You didn't get the response back. All right, teachers, it is back.
Teachers, need help with your classroom needs? Let the Burt Show fam help clear your wish list.
Look, here's what we know, and we do this every year now, is that you guys, teachers, you should not be spending money on your school supplies and decorations and books. But there you go. You do it each and every year because you have to, right? So we're going to try to help you out again this year with clearing your wish list.
All right, so we have a number for you to call, and you leave us a voicemail telling us about yourself, what grade you teach, and why we should give a shout out, or you give a shout out to your school. And also tell us a little bit about yourself. Are you a first-year teacher? Are you a veteran teacher? It cracks me up every year because even though these teachers are in front of students every single day talking to them, y'all have the hardest time calling our voicemail and leaving a message about yourself. You get so nervous. So the number is at thebirthshow.com. So you can go to thebirthshow.com, get that phone number, call us, leave us a message, and we very well could pick you to highlight your wish list. And then the Birth Show fam always shows up big, and we will attempt to clear your wish list.
All the information up online at thebirthshow.com.
Get it. The Birth Show.